Perhaps no toy of the 20th century in America was more iconic, more popular, and more widely known than the ubiquitous Barbie doll. Now, do you know the doll was named after a real girl named Barbie? Her mother was a woman named Ruth Handler, who was a co-founder of the Mattel Toy Company. Handler told her story in a book in 1994, and that's when I met her.
My husband and I were the founders of Mattel in 1945, and his great contribution were all those wonderful Mattel toys. Most of them were his creation, one way or another, or his supervision. Many of them his great ideas, such as Hot Wheels. My great creation, other than help build the business, was the Barbie doll.
Think of the fun you'll have taking Barbie and Ken on dates, dressing each one just right. Get both Barbie and Ken and see where the romance will lead. And remember, you can tell it's Mattel. It's well.
Did you ever conceive that it would be the cultural icon that it has become?
No. I always knew that there had to be a place for such a doll. There were no dolls through which a little girl could pretend she was grown up. That was a major breakthrough in play patterns for little girls. Before that, they had to play with paper dolls, adult paper dolls. And yes, I knew that the Barbie doll had to be important. No, there was no way to know that any toy or doll could last for 35 years and keep going up and up and up in sales progressively all those years.
When you first set out to write this particular book, did you have in mind a history of Mattel? Is it autobiography? Is it a business book, a success book, a how to overcome adversity book?
I think of it as a woman's book, although all the men I know want to read it.
It's a great story.
It's a story of an extraordinary life. It tells how Barbie was born. It tells how Mattel was founded, and it tells how I ran a giant corporation in times when women didn't do it, and the stumbling blocks along the way, trying to be a woman in a corporate world when such things were unheard of. And then it tells of lots of tragedy. The company, in many ways, fell apart for a few years. We had severe losses. The banks pushed me out. My ego fell to as low as one can go. In 1970, I had breast cancer. I had a mastectomy, a radical. And in 1975, I was pushed out of the company with a pretty low opinion of myself. And it took me a year or two bouncing around to realize that I had to pick up the pieces of my life and do something meaningful. And, of course, by then I knew that the meaningful thing that maybe I was destined to do was to revolutionize the breast prosthesis business, because I had had 5 years of agony trying to find something to fill out that empty brassiere cup.
And as you point out in the book, there's kind of an irony there with the Barbie doll, which you said was so important to young girls to have a doll with breasts. Mm-hmm. And now you are bringing full circle, restoring self-esteem to older women who had lost theirs.
Yes, and as I reflect on the Barbie doll, and as I learn from the adult women today who tell me how they loved that doll and how important she was to them, the Barbie doll helped the self-esteem of the little girls who were growing up with her. While they were projecting their dreams of tomorrow through this doll, she became part of them, and she helped them work through those growing up years. Amazing. And I'm told over and over again, not only thank you, but thank you for helping me with the Barbie doll. And then, of course, the years of creating Nearly Me and changing not only the design, but the marketing and the whole public image of breast cancer. I feel, again, I'm back to helping women raise their self-esteem. My own self-esteem had to go as low as it could before I found a way to get back into the other role, which brought me back.
Ironically, too, when you mentioned that you were, that you ran the company, I think you'd mentioned in the book that your daughter, Barbara, had expected you, had would might have preferred you to be a June Cleaver, a stay-at-home mom.
Yes, my own daughter, who played with the paper doll, the adult paper dolls, who gave me the inspiration to three-dimensionalize those things, that those paper dolls that she played with by the hour. She hated it when I went out to work. She kept asking, why can't I be like everybody else's mother? And she hated when people called her pointed her out as the Barbie.
And, of course, you also had a son named Ken.
That's correct.
What a coincidence. There is no truth to the rumor that there was a third member of the family named Skipper, though.
No, there was no Skipper. The people in our design departments take full credit for naming all the dolls except for Barbie and Ken.
And you didn't drive pink Corvettes.
No, I did name Chatty Cathy, and my husband was the creator of that.
We pulled the ring, and you say 11 different things.
One looks back on inventions like the Barbie doll or Chatty Cathy or Hot Wheels or the successes of the company, and they look so obvious in hindsight. Well, of course, somebody had to invent that. But at the time, their success was by no means certain at the point of invention, was it?
That's right. And in all cases, those three you mentioned, the Hot Wheels and the Chatty Cathy and the Barbie, they were each an industry almost unto themselves. We never believed in doing anything the easy way. We didn't want to do anything like anyone else. And so when we did the Barbie program, it took us 3 years to bring it from concept to market. When we did the Chatty Cathy, it took over 3 years to develop the voice mechanism and the whole concept there. And certainly Hot Wheels was overwhelmingly simple, seemingly, but not really.
But, you know, I remember my first Hot Wheels cars, and how, what a thrill it was that the wheels turned. Not only did the wheels turn, but it would turn fast, and those cars would zoom.
They're new. They're authentic. They're the fastest miniature metal cars you've ever seen. New Hot Wheels, only from Mattel.
If you could have stood in my husband's office as I did when the engineers brought down what he had asked, he brought in a matchbox car to the factory. And he says, these people, I don't understand what's wrong with them. They make a beautiful car, you put it down, and you have to push it, and its wheels don't turn. And he turned to our chief engineer, and he said, I tell you what I want you to do. I want you to change the axle system, and so that when this car rolls, you just tap it with a finger, and it runs. And within hours, our engineers were down in his office, and I saw it happen. And one engineer stood at the end of his desk and tapped this thing, and it ran all the way across the desk and fell on the floor so fast that we all screamed. And there it was. And then the track system, that was another interesting development. When they did the yellow track, my husband was always wandering around the design department, and he had told the engineers he wanted a track to run this car on in one way or another. And they had this yellow track, and our chief engineer was telling the designer, no, that's not good. That isn't going to work. My husband walked by, and he said, oh, wow, that's wonderful. All you got to do is lift it up and hook it to a chair, and you got it. And there we went.
You also have no idea how amused our cat was for hours at a time with that car. When you had the little motorized garage that you put the car in, and it would shoot it out the other side.
Yeah,
we have home movies of our cat being entertained by the hour all we have to do is turn it on and watch the cat. And it was the greatest thing. But so many thousands of hours of pleasure that you've given so many millions of American children, as you said, for years and years and years.
30 years of Mattel.
What a great legacy you've left.
Well, thank you. You know that the three biggest products Mattel has got are the three we left them. The Barbie doll, the Hot Wheels, and the voice mechanism. The CNC. The same mechanism that was put in Chatty Cathy then put into CNC.
Wow. And I don't know any parent of a toddler these days who does not have a CNC.
Yeah.
I think
they're wonderful.
It is just – but again, I mean, the book is so much more than that, too. I mean,
yes, it is.
That's a wonderful story, but you've got just marvelous stories of trials and tribulations, and legal trials and tribulations.
I was in a nightmarish situation where I was accused of fraud and horrible things, and the business grew too big. I lost control. It was a mess.
Wow.
And it, for one of my independence and ego and sense of fair play and high sense of ethics, it all came very, very hard. But perhaps looking back, perhaps I handled it wrong. But you know, you can't go back.
Does it ever bother you that the company was not called Ruthel and not Mattel?
I laugh about it because when I did the Nearly Me company was named Ruthton, and the reason it was named Ruthton was that I had a custom breast made by a man by the name of Peyton Massey, and he had made a couple of them for me, one when I had lost a lot of weight, and I started telling him how to make it better so that it worked better. And in the back of my mind, I realized that this custom breast was so much better than the globs that were being furnished in the stores. And so one day I went to Peyton Massey and I said, I'd like you to sculpt breasts. I want to go in the breast business, and I'll take you in as a partner. And I did, but this time, in thinking of names, we put Peyton and Ruth, and we called it Ruthton. It bothered me only slightly on the Mattel name, because the truth is Harold Mattson and Ruth Handler started that business.
I'm Bill Thompson, and now I've heard everything.